Well, now to a new study that finds there is no typical family in the U.S. anymore. Compared to the 1950s, when there was a dominant category of families with 65% of young children growing up with a mother at home and a breadwinner father. The study is from the nonprofit Nonpartisan Council on Contemporary Families. It was authored by Philip Cohen, who joins us from the University of Maryland, where he's a professor of sociology. Philip Cohen, welcome to Here and Now.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Well, tell us what that means exactly, no typical family anymore.
What that means is there's no category now with more than a third of children. That's the most common category now is dual earner married parents. That's a third of children. But the rest of the children are scattered across all the different kinds of arrangements that we often talk about individually, single mothers, single fathers, cohabiting parents, living with grandparents, and so on. And only a 22%, a little more than a fifth of children now live in that father-employed, mother-not-employed, married couple family.
And one of the reasons for that is because the percentage of Americans who are in married couples has dropped from the 50s to now.
Yeah, that's true. One of the other way I broke it down was looking at women, and the number of women who are in their early 30s who are married has fallen from 93%, which is really virtually universal marriage in 1960, down to two-thirds. So two-thirds of women in their 30s now married. And so the decline in marriage is probably the biggest part of this story, but that's really from a number of sources. It's partly delayed marriage, so people getting married in their late 20s instead of their early 20s or later. And it's partly non-marriage and partly also divorce and separation.
Which you say, by the way, is not necessarily a bad thing, the rise of divorce.
Oh, no. I mean, I think we don't have a clear sense of what the right level of marriage is. The idea of universal marriage clearly has drawbacks if it means that no one has a choice about being married or leaving an abusive marriage or an unhappy marriage or not wanting to be married, for example, gays and lesbians, who certainly were not living openly as couples in 1960, now have a lot more options than they did, and growing, I should add.
Well, let's talk about some of the new kinds of families that exist now and some of the new ways that kids are being raised. What are you finding exactly when it comes to these new different categories?
Well, the interesting thing is I'm just looking at a slice in 2012 for this, and one of the things that the categories themselves show now is a lot of change. For example, children living with a cohabiting parent now is 7%, but a lot of children cycle through that state at one point or another. Or children living with a mother who is single but used to be married is 12% of children. Those children have had a complicated story to get to that point, and it means they probably have a parent or a whole separate family that lives apart from them. They may have step-siblings or half-siblings. Their grandparents may be separated, divorced, and remarried, and so there's really a lot of complexity. And I hate to be vague and use a term like diversity is the new normal, but it really is no way to pin down a dominant category from this dispersion.
Although one thing we do know is that there are many more single parents raising children.
Yes, there are, although their circumstances differ quite a bit. So the never married mother situation only applies to 11% of children that is never married and not cohabiting. Another 7%, like I said, are cohabiting. So it certainly is true that there are more children born to mothers who are not married, to parents who are not married to each other, but their circumstances are not so easy to categorize either.
What does this mean for policy? Is there something that lawmakers should be doing differently given the dramatic change that we've seen in what constitutes the American family these days?
I'm not strictly speaking a policy expert, but I have some general thoughts on that, which are we can't build policies around the assumption of married, stable married couple families for children. The welfare reform of the 90s was really oriented towards trying to increase marriage, especially among poor women. And on that score, it has failed completely. That is, marriage rates continue to fall. So however we're going to go about helping families deal with their problems of insecurity and instability, we have to take an approach that does not assume or try to construct a monolithic family structure.
And what about when it comes to kids? Are there studies about what this means for kids?
At the most general level, I think it's safe to say that stability and security are really important for children more than any particular family structure. And so I think one of the things we can try to think about is how can we help families make decisions with a more secure future in mind. That is, now we see people get married mostly when they feel like they are already established or secure. I know my students in college, especially the women, don't want to get married until they have their own income and career. In the 50s, people got married before they were economically secure, but they were pretty sure that's where they were headed, at least most people. And so I think if we could provide some sense of security, especially in the issues that people are concerned about, childcare, pensions, the things that, stress families, if we reduce that stress, I think their family lives would become less chaotic.
University of Maryland sociology professor Philip Cohen. His book is The Family, Diversity, Inequality, and Social Change. And you can read more details about the study at our website, hereandnow.org. Philip, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
And stay with us. It's Here and Now.